So I got involved with Norfolk State first time 2004. I was working for kind of an acrobatic stilts abseiling company, Scarabeos, 2003 or something. And they had forwarded me an email, I think initially sent by Tom, kind of advertising the position of a sound engineer all across kind of the theatre world as well. And someone sent me that, forwarded me that email. I'd not heard of the circus before. Actually, no, that's wrong, because I met the van beforehand, because Scarabeos had borrowed their van, the big blue Mercedes van, which then was pink.
Ah.
So I had travelled in that pink van already, but anyway, I hadn't got to know Norfolk State before. Anyway, so I saw the advert for an sound engineer, looked at it, was kind of attracted to it, didn't know at all really, think, what is this? Felt attracted and thought, oh, I'll never get it anyway. And I thought, sod it, I'm just going to apply. And at that point, I was working as a sound engineer with the West End sort of thing, but only somebody was training me. Anyway, so I applied and I didn't hear anything much really for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I thought, that's a goner, fair enough. And then suddenly, I think Tom rang me and said, are you still interested? Are you available? And I kind of went, yeah, why? And then they said, well, whatever, they had somebody in place already, a sound engineer, but that person has now pulled out or for some personal reasons can't do it. Later on, I found out a bit more about that. But anyway, and whether we could meet up for an interview sort of thing. So I did do that. So I drove from London to Bath and I met Tom and Chris Pink at that point, because he was kind of the sound designer, put the system in as well.
Mm.
And met them in a tiny little cafe in Bath, and just chatting away and whatnot. And then I said to Tom, I remember saying to Tom, I would like to see the tent as well, just to get an idea what was really. I don't know, You've never worked with a circus before then? I didn't know the blue tent, I didn't know the side circus, I've not been involved with the community projects or anything, I was based in London. And so I had my little Fiat Panda driving behind Tom in this big Land Rover. So it's not so fast. Anyway, so we got to, where was it? Pontypridd. That's right. And the tent was already up because it was just before the rehearsal started. And I saw the tent and that was it. Totally fell in love with it. I didn't tell Tom. I thought I'd let them know a bit later because I wanted to negotiate a little bit with them.
Yeah.
And the following day I said to Tom, if you want me, you have to get me a caravan. And he said, done deal. So he got me a lovely little caravan. And within 3 days I packed all my stuff in London away, did the redirect address and joined the circus.
And that was it?
That was
you
it.
You were within Norfolk State?
Yep.
And your role at that time was
sound engineer.
Yep. I understand maybe now you do more involvement with actual production of music, making music yourself, you play instruments,
I mean,
do you yourself?
2004 I was joined as sound engineer, then I didn't do 2005 for various reasons. Then 2006, Peter Reynolds, who was then the musical director, he'd asked me to join the band. Basically, he learned that I play saxophones and stuff, and we just, on tour, we used to sometimes just jam together. And I think out of that came his asking me, would you like to audition and join the band? And in the end, I ended up in the band. Also, the other sound engineer who Tom and I had introduced to Norfolk, because I didn't do 2005, so Dylan did 2005, so he covered for sound. And Dylan also ended then up in the band, so Dylan and me both ended up in the band. So then they were trying to find a sound engineer again.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. So it's given you quite a lot of transferable skills, really, then, moving within the one company.
Yeah, apparently I've got very good ears and love for music and all that, so, yeah.
I understand that there has been some other projects outside of Norfolk State with the music specifically, maybe within television, different projects, not necessarily Norfolk State ones, that you've been involved in. Could you tell me about those?
Well... Peter often got us work, really. Wherever he was involved, you know, he did a project with the Welsh National Opera at the WMC, and he wrote like a film score for a short film to do with Bewtown and the community around there, and we recorded the soundtrack basically for that film.
Wonderful.
Which was absolutely beautiful. But that was, you know, through Peter, who was also with Norfolk State, and got us. He always, you know, whatever job he had, he brought his musicians along, which was fantastic, really.
Wonderful.
And of course, we did stuff with the S4C, but that came through Ali. So that was still under Norfolk State, if you like, but a different troupe, a different kind of environment, a different, you know. So for the, what was it, the analog to digital transfer, you know, that kind of time. So we did various weekends out in the valleys.
Wonderful.
Quite interesting.
To be taking all your skills out of Norfolk State and working in new environments with other projects must be a lovely freedom to have. You're not constricted too much to your one job here.
No, and it's never just one job. That's the whole thing with a circus, isn't it? I mean, now I'm part of the 10 team. I love the 10, you know, we just put it all up. I'm totally part of that, you know what I mean? And yeah, I help Simon or whoever does the lights, just run the cables. You always, you know, you're part of a whole team and you do various things, really. Yeah. And that's what I do love about this job and this company, that you're not just one, but you have so many skills and you use quite a few of them. You drive, you load the lorries, do you know what I mean? And yeah, I mean, I've just done in December, I've done a sound engineer's job for the Spiegeltent in Bristol. So there, I could use my sound engineering a bit again, which is good.
So in all of that, how do you feel it's affected your own personal, domestic, family life?
Well, my family life is my dog and me.
Yeah.
That's about it. I think one reason why I keep coming back to this company really is more and more, you know, I feel really supported here and confident or within this style of work. It kind of seems to really suit me. Yes, there's pressure on us, as in to get it ready for a certain time to be the best you can be. But within all of that, there's always some pockets of time. There's always some mess that one up, but then you do it again and you get it better. I don't know, I used to work in corporate for corporate gigs. I was so stressful, I wouldn't even sleep the night before. It's just got so stressed by it. Then when you're so stressed, you can't even think anymore. You can't memorise nothing. It's terrible. One day I thought, I'm not doing that anymore. It does not suit me.
Yeah.
Some people thrive on it, I don't.
Yeah.
But then as soon as when I'm sort of in an environment like this, I can breathe, you know, I can think
so
about things, yeah.
You feel the structure of a family, maybe? And
it has become almost a family, you know, and you got to know, you know, lots of people in a way, but you've got your few you really like. But I feel secure in this now, you know, not to become lazy or anything, but to become creative, really.
Can you tell me maybe three of your favourite musical pieces that you have created with Norfolk State Band or as a musician over the years?
Golly. I think it's probably goes back to working with Peter, because that was my first sort of full professional work as a musician. And there's one piece I still love and play even on the accordion these days. It was a piece for a swinging trapeze for Lynn Bogg. Bog Standard, that's not her real name, but Lynn, yeah, anyway. She did Flying Trapeze, and that's just the 5/4. And Peter played the accordion on it, absolutely gorgeous, and Dylan did a tiny little, you know, he does a very subtle drum on it, and Peter kept telling him it's like the ash of a cigar, you know, with a stick on the snare drum, and Peter would just do this amazing, beautiful, you know, accordion introduction, and then the saxophone would come on top of that in 5/4. I don't know, it's such a beautiful melody, and initially I wasn't so, I knew 4/4, 3/4, 6/8 and all that, but when it comes, you know, all these cross rhythms, or, you know, the 5, the 7, the 9, 13, I've only got introduced to that here with Peter, really, years ago, and to, you know, learn these ones and start to love them. I love 7s, they're absolutely gorgeous, and 5s as well, and, you know. So, I mean, that was one piece I'd still love to this day, and sometimes I stand in the tent on my own, and in the middle, there's an acoustically sweet spot in the middle of the tent when you stand underneath the cupola in the centre point. Everything opens up.
Yeah.
It's a totally different sound.
Different sound.
And it's like you have a square foot, maybe, a circle, and that's the sweet spot. You don't need amplification, nothing. You just stand there and it's just beautiful.
Do you have a proudest moment or something that really resonates with you over your involvement over the 10 or so years that you've been involved? The thing that makes you feel proudest?
Yeah, I mean, it is being part of the band, it is standing there, it is actually using my voice, which is hugely challenging for me. It is playing instruments like this last year. You know, I play in the show, I play the accordion and the keyboard. That's not what I've learned to play. So I'm quite basic with those skills, really. But I'm playing it, and there I am playing these instruments, and it might be simple, but I'm really proud of that. It's not the saxophone, it's not where I'm comfortable with, it's not the flute. It's suddenly instruments I normally wouldn't necessarily play, and I'm standing there going, okay, here, and I'm enjoying it, I'm loving it. So those moments, and just to stand there within your body, to go, this is who I am, this is, you know, what you see. It's a proud moment, really.
That sort of follows on to my next question. A typical day on tour with Immortal, say, how that runs for you?
A typical day? I mean, do you mean like we're already set up, everything is sort of...
Yeah, yeah, that's it, maybe you've arrived, the show is nearly ready to go. How your day goes?
Well, it depends, you know, I mean, if we're still preparing and rehearsing, then, you know, you meet the band and you still work on pieces and whatnot, and then, of course, working with Firenze and the ensemble pieces and stuff. But once the show is running, it becomes a bit singular almost. Like, I know the bass player, me, for instance, last year, we were in the tent with our own times, but anyway, to practice. So you practice on your own, you still do that a lot. The performers would train, you also train, but you have to find the slot that fits with the performers as well, because it's just one big tent, you know what I mean? So you have to kind of see someone else. Am I bothering somebody by practicing? Is this okay? So you talk to performers, is this okay? But they go, yeah, don't worry about it anyway. So, yeah, I wouldn't practice. And then, you know, sometimes it could be promotion, so you go out with a company. Then, you know, the regular thing that then happens is, of course, the note session. So from the previous show, what needs changing? Are there any things everybody should know about? Bloody, bloody, blah. Then there's dinner, then there's warming up, then there's the show. So those ones, then days become quite, not set, but
standard.
Standard, there's structure. Go out with a dog in the morning, do you know what I mean? It has its framework, really. Afterwards, bloody hell, the band's always there. It's difficult not to drink or not to hang out in the bar. It's extremely difficult. I think it depends a lot on the weather. You know, if it's nice and sunny and warm, people hang out in front of their caravans and you might hook up for breakfast or, do you know what I mean, or some of their barbecues and everybody joins in. And then often it is more maybe groups go and do something together. I often tend to do things on my own because I'm up early, I've got a dog, takes me to totally different places.
I'm guessing you've travelled a lot within Europe, really.
Yeah. Apart from Australia, yeah.
Yeah, so you must have come across quite a lot of other entertaining companies, theatres. Can you explain to me maybe some of those that you've seen that have inspired you?
I mean, one prime example that's actually quite fresh in my mind, that's probably why I'm going to mention it, but when we went to Marseille just now in January, February, it was a circus festival, and there were, one other circus company was there all the time with us, and then there was another receiving tent that had kind of rotating company, so you didn't get to know them really that well. But the other French circus, I suppose, so they were there all the time, and they had three musicians in their band that did also a live score for the show. And we got to know them quite well, and they jammed with us. And I loved some of their music, and I had a chat with the bass player, and he gave me the CD at the end as well. And they played with us, and I know that Callum, our drummer, I loved playing with Christian, the other drummer, and our bass player Doug loved playing, you know, with Benoit, the other bass player. And so it was just lovely to, because being a circus musician is such a niche, it's such so specific, and to have another three people who do exactly that as well was fantastic. You know, they also lived in caravans, they also toured, they also wrote the music for the show. That was just really, really nice to see that. Mm. And not just, because normally we turn up like the Edinburgh Festival and we're almost the only circus, or the next circus is 5 miles away. Whereas there we were all really together and getting to know each other, saying good morning and, eating the same food. So it was, that was quite special, I thought. As a festival, it was also for the performers themselves, because there were other companies we liaised with, where sometimes when you turn up somewhere, or you might be the only one, then you are for the audience, but this time it felt like
more communal,
also for the performers themselves. I don't know what the performers were, but certainly for us, the musicians, it was a good thing.
Wonderful experience. And what is your future plans with No Foot State? On tour this year?
Yep, for sure. Again in the band. We've just tried to find a drummer as well.
That's an interesting point. How easy is it to entice someone into the circus?
It seems quite difficult. Because the thing is, when you train a circus performer, and most people these days go to a circus school to end up, you know, performing in this area, they know they're probably signing up there and then to be touring, to be travelling, you know, to have a lifestyle like this. Some of them might already live in trucks or whatever, I don't know, these days. But with musicians, to find a good musician that's also happy to do all the other things, to travel, to live in a truck, to put the tent up, to clean the toilets, to help in the kitchen, to help in the box office, to hang out with people, is a different ballgame. Because training as a musician, I don't think people necessarily have the in their mind first thing to join a circus. So it's a total change of culture, a total change of lifestyle, and a real commitment they've possibly never considered. I mean, same happened to me, really, and here I am. But maybe it's a bit like Marmite. Some people totally go, I love this.
Yeah.
And other people go, ooh, I don't know about that, you know.
It is an extreme lifestyle to some degree, isn't it?
It is. For us, it's become so normal that we forget.
Yeah.
We forget. But also we forget, I guess, the beauty or the amazing thing we have here, you know, because it's so normal for us. And sometimes even when we audition now, I went like, what do we have to offer to really good musicians? What is there we could be able, well, maybe they shouldn't do it because they're really good. And then I go, hang on a minute. And then sometimes you see people who just joined and first time step into the tent, or first time see people train, and they go, oh my God, you know, and they're totally blown away. We forget that, you know, totally forget this world they never stepped into. So I don't know, it's a very specific person you're looking for.
Yeah.
You know, will commit and will last the tour.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just the weekend, it's bloody 6.5 months ahead of us. sometimes difficult, others not. It's a very niche thing. You have to find, you know, when you audition somebody, you go, yes, you can play, or yes, no. But also, will they fit? Will they fit with the other musicians? Will they be all right loading the lorries? Will they be okay in a truck? Will, you know, you have to think of all these things.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not an average job.
No, for sure not.
So you're still very much in love with it then, I think.
I am afraid, yes. Yeah.
So that seals your future for now.
For sure for this year, yeah. And then who knows, I never planned my life that far ahead. Never, you know. I mean, to even know what's happening the next 6 months is quite amazing. I don't know. Who knows?
That's great. I'm trying to think of something else to ask you now. But I think we've kind of covered it. Thank you very much for your time.